All right, today we're in kind of a standalone, not kind of, it's a standalone message, and we're calling it The Church Jesus Always Visits. And the reason I wanted to call this, I'm going to start off by telling you something that's maybe a little bit weird that church people do. And if you haven't been a church person for long, you may not know about this, but or if maybe you're kind of coming back to faith and you've, or maybe you've resisted faith for a while, this may be one of those things where you kind of think like church people are just kind of weird. Christians can be kind of weird, and we are, and we do weird things, and we get that. So I'm just going to make fun of us for a little bit today. But I don't know if you know this, but like growing up, like I remember there were certain days in our church where like people where like it was just really good. There were certain days that were really good Sundays, and there were certain days that were just kind of eh Sundays. You guys know what I'm talking about? Now I know you don't know what I'm talking about because today, you know, every Sunday is amazing here. So I know you don't know. You know, every Sunday here, the pastors are just preaching fantastic. The music is always amazing. But in some churches, from what I hear, they have good days and eh days, okay? But so that was the church that I grew up in. It was kind of a small town, small church, and it was a great church to grow up in. But I remember certain days it was like, wow, that was really amazing. And certain days it was just kind of, well, we were here. And I remember that on the days where it was really, really like amazing and just incredible, people would say things like, man, God was really here today. Anybody ever heard someone say something like that? Like, God was really there. Or like my friends sometimes would look at me and say, dude, Jesus was like totally here. And I'm just kidding about that because no 12-year-old says things like, dude, Jesus is here. Like that didn't happen. But I mean, like that was stuff that happened in our church. People would say like, wow, God was really here. Jesus really showed up. Like he really showed himself today. That was amazing. And as I grew older, I kind of realized something. I mean, first of all, like I've been a church person so long. Like I joke, but it's true that I really grew up in a church pew and it was orange, and the orange on the church pew matched the carpet, which was orange. Tom Maxwell would have loved it. I mean, like that's the church that I grew up in. And I realized something as I grew a little bit older, that really when people were saying, wow, Jesus showed up and God was here, really what they were saying was one of two things. It was either the band was a little bit better that day, right? I mean, either the band was a little bit better that day, or pastor must have had an extra cup of coffee because he had a little bit of extra pep in his step. And I mean, in the north, like I grew up in the north where, you know, people just kind of stand still and talk. Like if pastor moved away from the pulpit a little bit, it was like, whoa, he's doing something big. Like God's moving. Pastor's moving. That's crazy, you know? And so I remember that was the kind of thing, that the band was a little bit better, the music was a little bit better, or the pastor's preaching was a little bit better. And I remember thinking like, yeah, I love those Sundays when pastor was preaching really good. God bless you. Congratulations. You know, like I remember really liking those days where God was, the pastor's preaching good. I really liked the days where the music was good. But I remember having this thought as I grew a little bit older, I was thinking, well, I'm here every week. Why am I attending church more than God does? Like if we take notice that God shows up like once in a while, I'm here every week. I'm attending more than God does. And I also thought like sometimes, like I'm here early, like I'm here for Sunday school. I'm here for early because my parents come early for stuff. And it seems like even when Jesus shows up, he doesn't show up until like the third song that everybody has been singing for 10 years. Like that's when he really shows up. So like, why am I showing up early if he's gonna walk in at the third song? Like I didn't get that. And that was confusing to me. And so with all of that said, I kind of want to set the stage that in most churches, Jesus shows up sometimes and Jesus doesn't show up sometimes, and God shows up sometimes and God doesn't show up sometimes, which leads to the question, is there something that churches do that sometimes gets God to show up? And is there some things that maybe sometimes churches do that actually make God want to stay away? And all of that, I say to really help us understand something very important about our church that we're going to talk about for a little bit today. And it's simply this, that I really believe there are some specific things that churches do that actually attract God's presence, that actually attract Jesus to show up and want to be around a church. And here's the thing. For our church, we say this every single Sunday. Our mission is to lead people in a growing relationship with who? With Jesus Christ. Our mission is to lead people who have been around for a long time, people who haven't been around for a long time, people who have walked away for a while, that our job, our mission, if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing as a church, our mission is to lead people in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ, because at the end of the day, we believe that Jesus changes lives. I love when music is good in a church. At the end of the day, good music in a church alone does not change lives. Good music where Jesus is present changes lives. Does that make sense? That good good preaching. I love good preaching, and I hope you enjoy the preaching. I hope you enjoy my preaching, so I hope you get that. But at the end of the day, good preaching without the presence of Jesus doesn't really accomplish much. Good preaching with the presence of Jesus changes lives. It's really when we start to encounter Jesus, when we meet Jesus, when we see Jesus face to face, when we understand how big God's love is and we see Jesus, that's where lives start to change. I mean, when you look at the Gospels, when you look at the accounts of Jesus' life and his ministry on earth, every time someone comes into contact with Jesus, their life is changed forever. I mean, they're like people who were blind receive sight, people who were deaf receive their hearing, people who were sick and about to die, all of a sudden their life is restored to them, people who were on their deathbed, sometimes people who actually did die, life returned to them, people who had lost all hope, hope was given to them, people who were broken and beyond repair and considered themselves unclean and unable to receive anything from God, when they met Jesus, they received hope. They received life. They were brought back to life. Their brokenness was turned into wholeness. Their death was turned into, I mean, like everything changed, and everything changes in the presence of Jesus. And so I'm like most of you guys. And when I go to a church for the first time, or I walk into a church service for the first time, most likely I'm going to see like, okay, well, I'm going to judge it. Well, how was the music and how was the preaching? But at the end of the day, I think I'm learning this more and more. I want us to be a church where we get the music right, and we get the preaching right, and we get the kids' ministries right, and we get all of that stuff right. But at the end of the day, all of that, if we get all of that right and we don't have the presence of Jesus, then we're not really moving people anywhere, and we're not introducing people to a person who actually has the power to change lives. Does that make sense? So I want us, more than anything, I want us to be a church that Jesus always wants to be around. I want us to be a church that when Jesus looks at us and just imagine this, just imagine that Jesus every Sunday morning, he wakes up in Las Cruces and he goes, where am I going to church today? I want Jesus to go, you know what? I want to show up at Movement because they're doing the things that draw me. They're doing the things that make me want to be at their church. And so it still leaves us with a question. What's the thing that gets Jesus to show up at a church? What's the thing that gets Jesus's presence all over a church and all over a ministry and all over something? Like, what is it that attracts the presence of Jesus to a church, to a body of followers, to a body of Jesus Christ? What is the thing that we can do? Is there something we can do specifically to ensure that the presence of Jesus comes every time we gather together? And that's the question that I want to look at, and that's the question that I want to answer together today. So we're going to look at three different passages of Scripture that honestly, I was reading through the Gospels a few months back, and you know how sometimes, I don't know if you know this, but sometimes us pastors, sometimes we read Scripture to find sermons, and sometimes we read Scripture on our own, and we sometimes in that still find a sermon. And this is one of those things where I've been asking this question my whole life. Is there something we do as a church? Is there something we can do as a church to make sure that Jesus is always present, to make sure that Jesus always wants to be around us, to make sure that Jesus is always showing up? Is there something that we can do? And if there is something specific, let's do those things. So I've been asking that question my whole life. It's part of what drove me into ministry. And I want to let you know I'm still asking that question today. But I think I've found the answer. And as I was reading the Gospels a few months back, I found this verse, and it kind of really stood out to me. And it stood out to me because Jesus just all of a sudden showed up in the middle of an instance. And I started to go, okay, is that kind of just a one-time thing? Or is there a pattern to this thing that just stood out and caught my eye? And as I read through the rest of the Gospels, I found that there's a pattern here. And so we're going to read three separate passages of Scripture. These all happen for some context. These all happen after the resurrection of Jesus, okay? So again, if you think about this, the resurrection is, I think, the greatest single event in human history. I mean, literally, the Son of God came down from heaven. He came down, he lived as one of us. He showed us who God was. And a lot of people didn't believe that he really was who he claimed to be. And they put him on a cross and they didn't know what to do with his perfection. So they threw him on a cross, gave him a brutal death. And everyone in the city of Jerusalem, including his closest followers, all saw him die. And dead stays dead. I mean, none of his followers he had even claimed, like, guys, they're going to kill me, and then I'm going to raise back from the dead. And there was not one of his followers at the cross going, see you later. I mean, just think of that. Like, the guys who followed him, the guys who believed in him, the guys who believed that he was the Messiah, not one of them was sitting there going, but he's going to come back. This is all going to work out really well. Okay, so 3 days later, he raises from the dead. Over the course of the next 40 days after his resurrection, at least 500 people saw him and claimed to see him and walk with him and eat with him and talk with him and see that he was not a ghost and not some figment of their imagination. It was the resurrected Jesus Christ. But before the 500 people saw him, smaller groups of people saw him. And so that's where we're picking up the story today. So Matthew chapter 28, verses 8 through 10, it says this. So the women hurried away from the tomb, okay? These women show up at the tomb and they're ready to rewrap Jesus' body because men did it and they assumed that the men got it wrong. So the women show up and they're like, we gotta rewrap his body. They see the empty tomb. They see the stone rolled away. They see there is no body there. And they say, we've gotta run and we've gotta tell someone about this. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. And ran to tell who? And ran to tell someone. Who did they tell? His disciples. And ran to tell Jesus' disciples. Okay, this is important. They ran to tell his disciples. They ran to tell someone. They ran to tell someone who had no idea about the resurrection of Jesus. Someone who had no idea that Jesus had actually pulled off exactly what he said he was going to pull off. They said he ran to tell his disciples. And then in verse 9, suddenly who? Suddenly Jesus met them. Suddenly Jesus met them. Okay, they're running to tell his disciples and suddenly Jesus shows up. Greetings, which if you've seen a dude die and then he's in the middle of the road saying greetings, you're like, greetings. He said, they came to him, clasped his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid, go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. So Jesus shows up. So here's the question. When does Jesus show up? Jesus shows up while these women who are the very first people to find out about the resurrection, these women who are the very first, which by the way, ladies, if you've ever felt like disenfranchised, that's the word. If you've ever felt that from a church or like they were like the church was a boys club and you didn't have a part to play, the first people that God showed his resurrected son to was ladies, just like you. So dudes, you should feel left out. We should feel left out. The first people that saw the resurrected Savior were women, and they show, and they're on their way to tell the boys. They're on their way to tell people who have no idea, and in the middle of them on their way to tell people who have no idea, Jesus shows up. When does Jesus show up? Jesus shows up while they're on their way to tell people who have no idea. And while he interrupts them, like they're on their way, he interrupts them just so they can see him. They're like, hey guys, I'm back. Well, it's good. It's all good. I'm alive. Like, look, I'm really amazing. And he shows up in the middle of that. He says, hey, you're on your way to tell them. Go and tell them. You are doing the right thing. I showed up because you're going and telling, and I want you to continue going and telling. That's a big deal. Jesus says, go and tell without any fear. Then, again, that's the first one. That's the first one. Second one is this. In Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 13, these are some guys that were followers of Jesus. They're walking along. It says, now that same day, two of the disciples, they were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. Now, what was everything that had happened? Everything that had happened was a few days earlier, they had seen their Messiah, they had seen their Lord, they had seen the one they were following, crucified on a cross, and then earlier that day, they had some women show up in the middle of their midst and say, guys, the tomb is empty. We saw the Savior. We saw Jesus resurrected. Like, we don't know what any of it means, but we saw it. And so that's what they're discussing. They're saying, hey, we don't know if we even believe this yet. We don't know what any of it means. We don't know if it has any application. We don't know if we can really believe it. We don't know, but we're discussing it. We're trying to figure out what this is all about and what this all means. Then, in verse 15, as they talked and discussed these things with each other, who shows up? Jesus. Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. And it says in verse 16, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? As if he didn't know. I mean, like, here's the, again, what happens? When does Jesus decide to show himself? Jesus decides to show himself while a couple of his followers don't even know if they believe yet. They're discussing, they're talking about it. They're going, hey, we heard. I don't know if we can believe. If it's true, what does it mean? If it's true, how do we change? How do we go back? Like, can we go back? Is it possible for us to go back? I mean, we turned away. We didn't even show up at his death. Like, we just heard. I mean, like, all, like, can we go back? Can we follow again? If he really is alive, like he pulled off everything he said and we didn't believe it, can we go back? And they're discussing that and they're talking about that. And Jesus shows up right in the middle of their questions. And they're discussing what happened with the resurrection and how big God is and how great God is. And that's when Jesus decides to show up. Jesus decides to show up when people who are skeptical are talking about the resurrected Savior. Jesus shows up when they're talking about him, when they're trying to figure it out, when people are trying to go, okay, I don't even know what it means, but if it's true, what if that's true? Like, how does that change us? That's when Jesus decides to show himself. And then the third time is this, in Luke chapter 24, a little bit later in the same chapter, in verse 33, it says this, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. So this is the same guys who just, this, by the way, the best part of the last story is they're so busy talking about all the events surrounding the death and resurrection of Jesus, that when Jesus shows up, they don't recognize that it's Jesus for like a whole 10 verses, which is like hours and hours in time. They're walking with him, like walking, like, yeah, we're talking about, like, oh yeah, here's what we're talking about, blah, blah, blah. They don't even realize it's Jesus until a couple hours into their conversation with him. They're so into talking about Jesus, they actually miss the presence of Jesus. Once Jesus shows himself to them and they actually realize that it's Jesus, the crazy thing, Jesus disappears. And he's like, bye. And they gotta go. And they're gonna go like, oh my gosh, we saw him. And so they show up and they go back to tell the rest of the brothers. Now, just for a little perspective, there's a little bit of old-fashioned biblical times sexism that happens here, because the 11 disciples, when they have the women show up and they say, hey, we saw the resurrected Savior, what did the 11 men do? They go, I don't know. I mean, if he was going to show himself to anyone, it'd be one of us, the men, right? I mean, like, and they don't believe the ladies. They're like, oh, ladies, you're just being hysterical. Go make us a sandwich. And so, I mean, that's just what they did. And they're kind of like, well, what? Like, what if that was true? What if that was true? And so now you've got two of their guys who have seen the Messiah, and they show up. And they said, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus is recognized by them when he broke the bread. And here's what's amazing. The 11, the rest of the other nine guys, they go, oh, wow, we believe now. We didn't believe the ladies, but now that men said it, now we believe you. Again, here's what happens. These guys see Jesus, they see the resurrected Savior with their own eyes, and they go to tell some people who were skeptical. They go to tell some people who don't yet believe. They didn't believe the first report, but they're going to stand there as people who, hey, we saw him too. We saw him too. And if you didn't believe them, you can believe us. And in the middle of that, in verse 36, guess what happens? While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. So again, when does Jesus show up? Are you starting to sense a pattern here? When does Jesus show up? Jesus shows up while some people who have seen and heard and know about the resurrection and know for sure, they've seen it with their own eyes, they've heard Jesus speak. I mean, they know this is not some figment of their imagination. They know. Jesus shows up while people who know are trying to explain about the resurrection to people who do not yet know. That's when Jesus shows up. And here's the thing, if you take that, you've already seen the bottom line, so you can leave it up. But here's the thing. The pattern of the New Testament, the pattern of the Gospels, is that when Jesus shows up, every single time Jesus shows up and shows himself after the resurrection, the story starts with, and they were telling someone, and they ran to tell them, and they hurried back to tell the brothers, and they hurried off to tell someone else, and they hurried off to tell someone else. And while they're in the middle of hurrying to tell someone else, to tell someone else, to tell someone who is skeptical, to tell someone who didn't believe, to tell someone who didn't believe before the resurrection but would believe after, in the middle of their running to tell them, to tell someone, to tell a skeptic, to tell an unbeliever, to tell someone who had no idea what anyone was talking about, in the middle of them going to tell someone else, Jesus showed up. So how do we become a church that Jesus always visits? Here's the thing. Here's the bottom line. Here's the pattern of the Gospels. Here's the pattern of church history, is simply this, that Jesus always shows up when people who know are sharing the good news with people who don't yet know. I thought that might get a clap or an amen. I don't know. Let's try it again. Jesus always shows up when people who know are sharing the good news of people who don't yet know. That is the exciting news of what we get to do. When is Jesus going to show up? How do we become the church that Jesus always wants to visit? We simply become the church that is really, really, really engaged in being the people who know and have experienced something and who Jesus has brought from death to life and from hopeless to hope. And we take the people, we be the people who Jesus has completely changed our lives. And we go, hey, I know something. I know that it's real. I know that he's good. I know that he changes lives. And while we know, we're not just content to know, we want to be the people who take what we know and we share with people who do not yet know. That's when Jesus shows up. That's when Jesus sends his presence to be with us. That throughout church history and throughout the gospel accounts, every time Jesus shows up, it's right in the middle of people who know telling someone who does not yet know. A couple other ways we could say this is simply this, that Jesus always shows up when people who are convinced are sharing the good news with some people who are not yet convinced. Jesus always shows up when people who know are sharing the good news with some people who are kind of skeptical. Jesus always shows up when people who know are sharing the good news of the resurrection and the good news of God's love with people who have forgotten. That Jesus always shows up with people who have forgotten and have walked away. That Jesus always shows up when his church is committed to being a body of Jesus who goes out and shares what Jesus did on the cross with his death and what he did when he came out of the grave with his resurrection. And say it says when Jesus shows up, when people who already know and whose lives have been changed go out and we share the good news with people who have not yet heard, who do not yet know, who do not yet believe, who have not yet had their lives changed by the amazing love and the amazing grace of God. So if we want to be a church, and I desperately want us to be the church that Jesus always wants to be a part of, I'm just saying today, and I want to challenge us today, let's make sure that we're the church that is always committed to being a body of Christ who uses our influence to go out and share the good news of God's love with people who do not yet know, with people who do not yet believe, with people who have heard and are still skeptical, with people who have seen how Christians have acted sometimes and say, I'm not sure if I want to be a part of that, who have seen the way that who have experienced maybe a little bit of disappointment at times in their lives with God and turned away. And let's be the people who say, wherever someone is, however far someone has walked, however far someone has gone, however distant someone seems, and however impossible it is that we think someone could turn to God, let's be the people that share God's love with them. That's how we become the church that Jesus always visits. And here's the great news. To share a little perspective here, you guys, I'm not sharing this because you guys aren't good at this. Like, good Lord. In our church, just this year, since the calendar turned, we've seen 91 people make a decision to follow Christ in our church services, not including in small groups or what you guys are, you know, having in conversations over lunch and over coffee and at Starbucks and all that kind of stuff. 91 people have made a decision to follow Christ because you decided to say, hey, Would you come and see? And when they came and saw, they fell in love with Jesus and their lives have been changed forever. 91 people. That's exciting. I mean, that's exciting. That's worth getting excited for. Now, since we opened the doors of our church, we're just about to hit 200 people have put their trust in Christ since we opened our church. We're sitting at about 196 right now. And that's amazing because in year one, if you're good at math, or even if you're not, it might take you a little bit. Year one, a full calendar year, 104 people put their trust in Christ at one of our weekend services. This year already, by the end of July, 91 people have put their trust in Christ at one of our weekend services. We're getting better at this. We're doing better. We're helping people follow Jesus, helping people find Jesus, helping people discover Jesus. We're getting better. But here's the thing with that. We've still got a lot of work to do because in our city, 90% of people woke up today and said, nah. 90% of people didn't even set an alarm to wake up. 90% of people, 90,000 people in our city today woke up and when they thought about church, they just thought, nah. I don't know. I'm skeptical. I just don't believe. I don't think it's worth my time. I don't think it's worth my effort. I don't think it's worth my energy. I've kind of been disappointed. I've kind of been hurt. I've kind of been burned. I've kind of been a lot of different things before. And so I just don't think it's worth it. So here's the thing. With that, you know, 90,000 people, that's a big challenge. But here's the thing. I want us to reach all of them. I want us to reach 90,000 people. You're thinking, I've never seen a church of 90,000 people. I'm not saying we're going to be a church of 90,000 people someday. I would love for us to be the church that makes it our mission to reach 90,000 people, though. I want us to be the church that says, wow, that's a big challenge. But at the same time, we have a big opportunity. Because there's cities where, you know, everyone knows and everyone's heard and everyone's a part of a church, but we're in a city where 9 out of 10 people don't believe and don't engage and don't connect and stay far away and stay disconnected because maybe they've seen churches that have been, you know, if you're far away, you stay away. And let's be a church that says, if you're far away, you come close. And if you've been far away, there's a place for you. And if you've been far away, if you've been distant, if you've been disconnected, you can reconnect. Let's be that church. Let's be the church that says, hey, there's a big challenge. There's 90% of our community is disconnected and disengaged from religion, disengaged from God, disconnected from God through the local church, disconnected. But let's also be the church that says, yeah, it's a big challenge, but what an opportunity. Because if you live in a neighborhood where you've got 10 houses on your street and you're a believer, guess what the other 9 are? Not. They're not connected. Chances are, I mean, statistically, that's just true. That's why I'm really glad that I live on a street with Justin and Cheyenne, because we can tag team our 20 houses. I mean, that's our responsibility, right? You know, like, I mean, that's just our responsibility. That in a neighborhood, if you live with 10, if you have 10 houses, And you're a believer, chances are the other 9 are disconnected, are disengaged, and it's our opportunity to reach them. If you work at a business where you've got 9 where there's you and 9 coworkers, statistically, those 9, if you're a believer, 9 coworkers are not, and you have a chance to bring your influence and shine a light and to be a great example of what the love of God looks like and what a changed life looks like. We have an incredible challenge in front of us, but we also have one of the biggest opportunities, I think, of any city, of any church in any city in the country. We've got a big opportunity. We've got a big amount of people in front of us and surrounding us every single day, where you go to school, where you go to work, wherever you go, there's a big opportunity to share the love of God, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with someone who doesn't yet know. And so here's the thing. I think wherever we go, wherever we decide to make, or wherever we make the decision that we're going to spread the good news, that we're going to spread the love of God, wherever we go, Jesus shows up when we make the decision to do that. Jesus shows up on college campuses. Jesus shows up at tummy time classes. Jesus shows up at doctor's appointments. Jesus shows up at coffee shops. Jesus shows up at college cafeterias and middle school cafeterias and high school cafeterias. And he shows up at neighborhood mailboxes, and he shows up wherever you go, where you decide that you're going to spread the good news and talk to someone and let them know about something that they may not yet know that could change their life. That's where Jesus shows up, and that's how we're going to be the church that Jesus always visits. Now, if you're wondering what's our strategy, how do we do this? We have 2 words, and I'm probably going to do a message on this every year about this time. But it's these 2 words. If you'd put up that next screen, it's 2 words. We call it influence and invite. Influence and invite. Let me talk a little bit about influence, then I'm going to talk for a little bit about invite. See, when I was growing up, the way this type of thing was taught was like, well, if you're a Christian, you got to go and you got to find yourself a non-Christian. Right, you know, you gotta find yourself a non-Christian. I don't know why, but the pastor developed a southern accent at that point, you know? You gotta find yourself a non-Christian, and then you become their friend. You befriend them. And I was like, I don't ever use the word befriend, but okay. You know, and then befriend them. And then you be really, really nice. And then once they believe you, you kind of suckered them in. Then you tell them about Jesus, and since they like you and you've been nice to them, they're gonna love Jesus. Yeah, my pastor wasn't Southern, but he developed a Southern accent every time he talked about that. Now, here's the thing. The good news for you is you don't have to go find someone. You live next to them. You may live next to them in the dorms. You may live next to them on the street. Your kids may go to school with them. I don't know who it is. You don't have to go find someone. And you don't have to go make a new friend. Chances are you're already friends with some people who you don't yet know, don't yet believe, are still kind of skeptical, but you've got influence. You've got influence through a relationship. And because you have a relationship, because you're their neighbor, because you're their coworker, because you're their boss, or they're your boss, or your kids go to play soccer together, or play baseball together, or play football together, or play whatever together, or spend time at tummy time together, or go to the same doctor, or whatever it is, because you have a relationship, you have influence. And with that influence, you get to decide, what am I going to use my influence for? I want to say, let's use our influence to be the best shining light of Jesus, the best people that we can be, the best friends we can be, the most caring we can be, the most loving we can be, the most kind, polite people that we can be, so that when someone looks at us and goes, man, I have a relationship with you, but you're different than the other people I have a relationship with. What's the deal with you? And that at that point, we actually have the opportunity to use our influence at some point to bring them an invitation to something or to someone. See, here's the thing. I think we have an opportunity. Sometimes God calls us to be really, really bold and to share our faith personally and make an invite and say, you know what? Hey, I want to invite you to follow Jesus right now. If you've got that type of relationship and that type of closeness, that might be the right step. But I think more often than not, people need to kind of be brought in a little bit and take some little steps and little steps and little steps. So the reason we say influence and invite is that sometimes we're going to be really bold and we're going to share our faith and offer them an opportunity in the moment to become a Christian. But more often than not, people need a little bit of a step. And so we say influence and invite because we think it's a really good thing to use our influence to invite someone to an environment designed with them in mind, where they'll hear the gospel in a relevant way. They'll hear the gospel in an engaging way. They'll show up and they're going to be welcomed with incredible friendliness. They're going to show up and they'll see some stuff that maybe go, wow, that's kind of new. That's kind of interesting. And they'll see people who care and they'll hear music that's relevant and they'll hear a message that's engaging and helpful and designed to help them see Jesus, maybe in a fresh light for the first time in a long time. So we say influence and invite. And when we say invite to an environment designed with them in mind, what I'm talking about is a Sunday morning worship experience, because we really do gear our Sunday morning around people who don't yet know. And so we want to speak to everybody, but we're always going to make sure we speak in language that you can understand, whether you've been around for 50 years or whether you've been around for 50 seconds. Whether you know everything or whether you know nothing or whether you're somewhere in between, we want to talk so that people understand wherever they're coming from. And so we want to say influence and we want to say invite. Now, the reason I bring this up now is this week is kind of the last official week of summer, right? Starting next, from the middle of August until about the very beginning of November, we enter into what we call a ministry season, where we feel like people are much more likely to take a step from August to November than maybe at any other time in the year except January. Okay? And so the reason to talk about this now is, as you think about who you influence and maybe who you're going to invite, this is one of the prime times, the peak times for you to be inviting someone. Okay? And so I want to let you know as we end today about a few opportunities that you have over the next couple months to be influencing and to be inviting and to use your influence to invite. So the first one is next Sunday. Next Sunday is back to school Sunday. Anybody excited about back to school? That was underwhelming, but I bought what I expected. Next week is back. So next Monday is back to school day for all the elementary schools, middle schools, high schools in Las Cruces. And then college starts a little bit after, I think a couple days after that. But it's back to school Sunday. And we think, this is one of my favorite things that we do every year, is we're going to pray for every student. We're going to pray for every teacher that joins us next Sunday. We have a gift for every student that's in attendance next Sunday. And we just believe that God may want to do some things that if we say, hey, let's be the church that says, let's get you off on the right foot. As you're about to start the school year, what if you start the school year with God instead of trying to catch up from trying to do it without God? And that's what we're going to say next Sunday. We're going to say, let's treat back to school Sunday. Let's make sure that we're taking God with us to school. And I think that's a big deal. So next Sunday is a great Sunday to invite someone that maybe is like, okay, well, I want my kids to hear about God before they go back to school. Maybe it's the only time they show up all year. But we think we have an opportunity next Sunday to do something amazing with back to school Sunday. The Sunday after that, if I can, I don't know how to say this strong enough. This is one of the most important series that we have done yet as a church. It's called Used To. It starts in 2 weeks from today, and it goes for 3 weeks. And let me tell you, chances are a lot of that 90% of people who are disconnected and disengaged from church, disengaged, disconnected from God, they used to be connected. They used to be connected to something. They used to believe. They used to belong to something. And so for those 3 weeks, we are literally doing a series that is all about speaking to people who used to believe, used to belong, used to identify as a Christian, used to be a believer, used to show up, used to connect, like all of that kind of stuff. And we're going to talk about this simple idea that even though they used to and now they're disconnected, they still can be connected again. That faith does not have to be something that they used to do. Faith can be something that they connect to again, and it can be real and it can be genuine in their lives once again. So if you're thinking, man, I know someone who has become disconnected, who has become disengaged, who got a little disenfranchised, that is the time that you're gonna wanna invite them. We'll make sure to next week, we will have invite cards and postcards that you can take, put in your wallet, and you can share with them. Then, 3 weeks after that, I'm just letting you know what the whole fall is gonna look like. So as you're thinking, who am I gonna be inviting? Who am I gonna be influencing? And who do I have the potential to invite? I wanna let you know, these are the things that are coming up that you have the opportunity to invite someone to and to get them involved with. 3 weeks after that, on September 10th, we begin a series called Family Game Plan. Now, if you look at that, that looks kinda like some football stuff, because September 10th is the day that the NFL, yeah, Ryan's shaking his head, he knows, yeah. That's the day, not even the NFL season, but fantasy football season starts on that day. So September 10th, we're launching a series called Family Game Plan that's going to be all about family life. And I know some of you are thinking, like, I don't really have a family yet, but here's the thing. Everyone's part of a family. If you're a young adult who doesn't have, you know, like a husband, wife, kids, you still came from a family, okay? And here's the thing we're going to be saying there is that everyone has a family. Every family can be difficult, but every family can get better when they have a plan. And so that's what we're going to be saying for those few weeks. We're going to be talking about some family life, and I think that's going to be really exciting. And then a few weeks after that, that's going to be 5 weeks. And about a couple weeks after that, on October 22nd, we're launching a series called Fracture. And Fracture is going to be all about the idea that life hurts, but God heals. And so wherever there has been hurt, because people tend to maybe, you know, get disappointed with God and move away from God, and for wherever there is hurt, we believe that God brings healing. And so this may be a great opportunity for someone who's experienced some hurt, experienced some pain, to maybe for the first time in a long time to see that God might just be the healer that they want and the healer that they need. Now, that's what's coming up this fall. And so I just want to double dog dare you. Double dog, yeah. I'm not going to go triple dog because I don't think we have to take it to that level. But I'm going to double dog dare you. I want us to be the church that Jesus always visits. I want us to be the church that Jesus always shows himself. And I want us to be that church because I believe Jesus, when he shows up, he changes lives. He changes everything. He brings people back to God. He reconnects people with their heavenly Father. He brings healing. He brings life. He brings hope. I mean, I just believe that. And I want us to be the church that commits itself over and over and over and over and over again to saying, you know what, every single week we're gonna bring someone. We're gonna bring someone. We say it all the time. Every Sunday is gonna be someone's first Sunday here. And over the next few weeks, I just really believe that if we'll commit to being the church that Jesus always visits and using our influence to invite some people to experience a God that maybe they've turned away from, or maybe they walked away from, or maybe they've never really had much of a relationship with in the past, I think that we'll be the church that Jesus always shows up for. We'll be the church that Jesus always visits. Now, to share a story, I think this is one of my favorite moments that's happened this summer. There was a young lady that was invited by one of our attenders, and she came a couple times. Started coming back in June, and she's been here a number of times since. And I remember when she walked in, I was like, wow, she looks a little different than a lot of the people here. Like, she's kind of got an edge to her. But I knew I said the person had told me, like, I invited a friend, they're coming, and I'm like, wow, that's really cool that she showed up. That's great, you know, great job to invite someone and they're coming, and that's awesome to follow up and everything. And I remember she came 1 week and she came back the next week, and on her way in, she stopped me and she said, you're the dude, right? And I said, yeah, that's a better title. I'm not Pastor Chris, I'm Dude Chris. Like, that's great. Like, I'm the dude. And she goes, well, I don't know what to call you, but like, I know you're the guy that was up there like talking last week. I was like, yeah, I was up there talking probably too much. And she kind of laughed and she said, I just want to let you know. And there's me and I was standing with Anthony, and she goes, and you're in the band too, right? And he goes, yeah. And she goes, that was like, just blew my mind. Like, that was like the best music I've ever heard in a church. And we were kind of looking at each other like, we need to introduce her to some different church. We think we do a pretty decent job, but if that's the best you've ever, like, well, you got some people to show you. So what do you call that? Like, song time? Like, karaoke? I'm like, no, but if you want to, you can call it that. Like, that's great. Like, and she goes, and the little talk thing you did, like, what do you call that? I was like, oh, some people call it a sermon or like a message, or you can call it a talk if you want. She goes, oh, that's great. She's like, I don't know what to call anything. I've never really been a church person, but like, that helped me experience God for the first time in a long time. And thank you. And I was like, you know, I got all choked up. I was like, thanks for telling me that. And here's the thing. The reason I tell you that story, I want us to be the church that Jesus always visits. And I want us to be the church that Jesus always visits because we're always committed to being a church that is about to tell people who don't even know what to call it yet. Does that make sense? That I want to be a church that is ready to share the good news with a whole bunch of people who don't know what to call a sermon and don't know what to call worship and don't know what to call greeters and don't, I mean, like, when and their kids are going to misbehave and they're going to show up and say, oh yeah, we've got kids environments. They're going to be skeptical and go, kids environments? Is that like a cult thing? And we're like, sure, yeah, it is. You know, like, I mean, like, I want us to be the church that is, that people kind of show up and they don't know what to call anything and they don't know how to engage and it's been a long time and they don't know what it's like and they don't know if they can reconnect and they don't know if it's possible that God could still love them and they don't know if that they have a chance to make their way back from where they are to where God wants them to be and they don't know anything and they don't know any of that. And we simply show up and say, yeah, it's possible. God loves you so much. He sent his son that he gave his life on the cross to pay for your sins that got you all the way over there so that you could be brought back into connection with the Heavenly Father who loves you. There is no too far. There is no too far gone. There is no sin too great that disconnects us from our Heavenly Father. And we're about to share that news with a lot of people. So let's use our influence to invite. And here's the thing. The last thing I want to say is this. Over the next few weeks, I really believe especially through the Used To series, if we'll commit to being the church that Jesus always shows up and commit to using our influence to invite some people who need to hear, I really believe with my whole heart, we may see 30, 40, 50 people put their trust in Jesus Christ at one of our weekend services and take their first step back in a relationship with God. If we'll step up, if we don't step up, your life will probably not change at all. It just won't. I mean, you'll be like, oh, cool, nothing really happened. But here's the thing, nothing will have really happened. And we have the opportunity to use our influence to invite someone. So something happens. And when we step up, something always happens. And when we step up and we influence and we invite, who knows what God might just do in someone's heart and someone's life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you're good. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you've given us a big challenge, but God, you've also placed us in the middle of a city where there's a big opportunity. God, for our neighborhoods, for our workplaces, for our school campuses, for our college campus, God, for our carpool drop-off lanes at schools, for tummy times, for doctor's offices, for big, you know, offices, for military bases, for wherever we find ourselves, God, thank you for the opportunity that we have to use our influence, to invite someone into a relationship with you, to invite someone to take their first step, to invite someone to take their first step back, to invite someone to know that there is something that can change their life forever. There's a God who can change their life forever. And God, I pray that as we talk today, we would be challenged, we would be stirred. There would be something that just kind of wells up inside of us that sees this not as just something that we have to do, but God, something that we get to do, that we get to share the love of Jesus Christ with our neighbors, our coworkers, and our family members, and our friends, and everyone that we come in contact with. So God, I pray that as we go forward, God, let us be the church that you always want to be a part of, that your presence is always very real at, because we're committed to doing the work that you've sent us to do, to share your love, to share your grace, to share about your resurrection, and to share about the new life that you offer. Help us to be that church. Help us to see the amazing things happen that you want to do in this city through this church. God, we love you. We pray that you would just have your way in us, have your way through us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. See you guys next week for Back to School Sunday. Bring someone with you. Have a great Sunday.